go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. This is a special interview and conversation with a distinguished international diplomat, Yoram Ettinger, ambassador of Israel to the United States, with the responsibility of dealing with our Congress. Also served in a consulate in Texas, where he learned some very colorful expressions and other Americanisms. A good friend now with the Second Thoughts Initiative in Israel. Ambassador Ettinger, we were talking a little bit about the mistakes both our countries have made, often yours at our insistence, in the so-called peace process, a very concerted effort, long-running by governments in both countries to fashion some kind of modus vivendi with Muslims who, for unfortunately too many purposes, are unlikely to cooperate. And you made this critical point that as long as they persist in inculcating in their people a vitriolic hatred for the West or for elements of it, any kind of deal is unlikely to be of much use, except perhaps to them. And it raises a specific case in point. I'm wondering what we should anticipate at this point from Barack Obama on his way out the door in terms of a sort of last-minute maneuver at the United Nations that might exacerbate this folly of false peacemaking from the past.
Well, I must admit that one source or one reason for certain respect towards President Obama has been his consistency. He has been very consistent in implementing his worldview, irrespective of the odds, irrespective of criticism, but mostly irrespective of reality. And therefore, I would expect him to persist with that mode of governance until January 20th, when he vacates the White House. Now, this may take a form of proposal at the UN with regard to Israel and the Palestinians. He may address himself to many more important issues, but I would be almost shocked if he departs from the White House in less than very, very thundering form. The big question, obviously, is going to be whether he will devise a way to do that while precluding any successful attempt by his successor to waive his action, to waive his impact. But in my mind, he is going to try and further his agenda, re-entrench his legacy, which quite frankly has eroded U.S. posture of deterrence in an unprecedented manner, providing a major tailwind to anti-U.S. terrorist regimes and terrorist organizations.
In addition to this folly of trying to force Israel to give up territory, to live in boundaries that are indefensible, to otherwise accommodate itself to a Palestinian state, at least recognized by the UN, all of which seems to be what's looming here in the last days of the Obama administration. There is this concerted campaign that has been mounted by people who seek such outcomes, known as the BDS movement, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions. Would you talk a little bit about that movement, the involvement of some even Jews in that campaign, and what effect, if any, it's been having on your country of Israel?
Well, evaluating the last 11 years that BDS has been active since 2005, one may conclude that it hasn't been very successful. One example is the fact that from 2005 until today, the scope of foreign investments in Israel has tripled itself. While the BDS movement is very, very powerful, according to West European media, not only on West European campuses, but in West Europeans' corridors of powers, halls of power, cabinets, etc., trade between Israel and Europe has increased in recent years. The most noticeable or colorful example is Turkey. Mr. Erdogan is no friend of the Jewish people or of Israel, although recently diplomatic relations have been reinstated. But he certainly has been one of the most crude critics of Israel and supporters of anti-Israel terror organizations. At the same time, however, if you compare trade balance between Israel and Turkey in 2009-2010, around $2 billion, today it's around $5 billion. And Erdogan's son himself, who owns a major shipping lane, has his ships docking in Israeli ports every single day, bringing Turkish exports to Israel and returning with Israeli exports to Turkey. BDS certainly has been totally ineffective when it comes to expanding Israel's economic profile throughout the world. For instance, India. India has become one of Israel's busiest partners in the area of defense as well as commerce. We're talking about $5-6 billion trade balance. We're talking about Israel being today number two, number three exporter of military systems to India. We're talking about China, which had almost no trade with Israel back in the early 1990s. And today we're talking about excess of $11 billion. It could have been much higher than that if not for Israel's very careful attitude not to involve China in transactions with dual-use systems that could have sensitive applications to military defense areas. We're talking, obviously, about the huge interaction between the U.S. and Israel. We have today in Israel some 200 to 250 research and development centers of the giants of the American high-tech industry for one reason. They have realized that when it comes to cutting-edge technologies, innovative high-tech applications, Israel has become a global source.
It's a remarkable story for a small country in a pretty desolate part of the world to have accomplished so much in such a little time. It's a story we're going to talk a little bit more about in our final segment with Ambassador Yoram Ettinger, including how the new U.S. administration will deal with Israel, right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.